So I'm going back to messages that I preached on Sundays, oh, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago here, and turning them into lessons for us on Sunday night. And so this is this series, these lessons I'm entitling How to Be Happy. These were messages preached back in 1996. Actually, the first one we looked at August 18th last week, and this is from the same Sunday morning message on August 18th, 1996, on the subject of how to be happy, how to be happy. And last week we looked at, boy, this has got to be helped, Tom. You got to go upstairs and fix it. Okay. Last week we looked at the Queen of Sheba coming there to Solomon's kingdom. And going through Israel, of course, and you might remember if you were here, after seeing all that the Solomon's kingdom had, she made the statement, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee." The truth of the matter is, the Bible says there that after she viewed the kingdom, she had no more spirit in her. In other words, that what she had seen there in Solomon's kingdom in Israel had taken her breath away. Just completely taking her breath away. But number one on your sheet, what's interesting is the thing the queen made a comment about first was the happiness of the people. The happiness of the people. That was the first comment she made to him. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants. And the truth of the matter is, God's people should be a happy people. And boy, the world puts a premium on happiness. And people spend a lot of money to try to purchase happiness. Happiness cannot be purchased. It's not for sale, okay? And so we've been looking at that. We still got trouble on the platform, fellas. I don't know what it is tonight, but you got to try to get that down a little bit because it's really, really loud up here. Now, we learned from the Word of God several things that can contribute to a person's happiness. Last week, the lesson we learned, number two on your sheet, was happiness comes from God's correction and chastening. Happiness comes from God's correction and chastening. Now, that may sound strange. And you think, man alive, the first thing we're going to talk about when we're talking about how to be happy is that correction and chastening result in happiness. But it does. Correction and chastening results in happiness. Number three on your sheet, if we receive, there's the key. If we receive God's correction and chastening, it will result in us being happy. Let me read for you. I had it marked and then I turned. But let me read for you 1 Kings chapter, it was actually in the book of Job chapter 5. And you know what? I won't try to find it tonight. It's over in Job chapter 5, I believe verse 27. And it talks about the fact that happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth and chasteneth. Okay, so correction and chastening from God, if we receive it, results in us being happy. It helps us get things right, helps us get things straight. Now, second of all, number four on your sheet, happiness comes from obeying the Word of God. It comes that shouldn't even surprise us, right? Happiness comes from obeying the Word of God. Chapter 29, book of Proverbs, you're there. Look at verse number 18. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, that's a pretty familiar verse, okay? The first part of that verse is very familiar. It's often used in preaching about having a vision, you know, having a vision of living for the Lord, of living for something bigger than yourself, of moving to Ukraine, and God using you as a missionary to reach people and establish churches. And there's nothing wrong with the application of that verse being used that way in messages, and I'm for that. I think you can make a good application. But the interpretation of the first phrase is a little different than that application, okay? Number five on your paper there, the word vision is speaking of a revelation from God, an oracle of God, if you will, the voice of God. That word vision, the same word is used in when Samuel was taken to the temple. Remember that? When Hannah took her son Samuel to the temple and dropped him off there with the priest Eli? And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 3, 1, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. In other words, there were the revelations from God to man. Folks, if God didn't take care to reveal himself to us, we would know nothing about him. But he has revealed himself to us, things about his power, his Godhead through creation. He revealed the express image of His person through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then He gave us 66 books right here in this book that we call the Bible. That is the revelation from God to us so that we can know about Him and learn about Him. If there's no vision, if there's no revelation from God to man, then the people perish. Number 6 on your sheet, where there is an absence of God's Word, the people perish. So the word vision really is a synonym for the Word of God, for the truths of God's book. And so the opposite obviously is true. Those with God's Word, they can be happy. That's what he's saying here, okay, at the end of verse number 18. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. And that person is happy for a couple of reasons. Number 7, letter A on your sheet here. He is happy. He has access to God's Word. How happy God's people in America should be that we have access to multiple copies of God's Word. I would imagine there's not a single Christian in this church who has just one Bible. I would bet you that most of us have 3 or 4 Bibles minimum. Okay? And of course, I don't know how many Bibles I have. I have a drawer at my house in a cedar chest, and I keep Bibles in there that I read from every year. I read from a different Bible for my daily devotions. And I have 4 or 5 Bibles in there. I don't know how. I got Bibles stacked in my office. And, you know, if we can't get to a copy of God's Word, we can find it other places. We have been numbed by having such tremendous access to God's Word. Where he's going, Ukraine? Brother Bragg, you've been there how many times? I hope you get a chance to meet Brother Bragg, okay, and talk to him a little bit. He's been there several times. But you talk, folks, you remember, I remember when the wall fell, okay, the Berlin Wall came down. I remember when that happened. Remember Ronald Reagan, if you were alive back then, challenging Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. We had a little bit different leadership back then than we got today, okay. And boy, you could get lost in that real quick, but I won't go there, all right. Tear down this wall. And they tore it down. And what was significant about that, it gave Russia and all those Iron Curtain countries, it gave them access to a book they'd never had. A book they'd never seen. You remember, those of you that were in church back then and here, if you were here and other, maybe other churches, you remember seeing the videos of the American missionaries who went to Russia and presented Bibles, and those people with tears running down their cheeks, they weren't staged photo ops. The tears are running down their cheeks. They're kissing it and holding it to, like, how many times we saw that by way of missionary video? They had no access. You got a godless country over there. No access to the Word of God. And that's exactly what happens when there is no vision, when there is no open revelation, when there's no revelation from God to people, the people perish. And that's why I love, as a church, mission-wise, investing in Bibles in the nationals' language. I don't know what greater thing outside of giving them the gospel personally you could do for a person than give them a copy of God's book. And now they got access, okay, to a vision there, all right? And so that's exactly what that's talking. That's the interpretation of the verse, where there is no vision, where there's no revelation from God to man. The people perish. The people perish. And now he's not only happy that he has access to God's Word, but letter B under number 7, he's happy because keeping God's commandments makes a person happy. And when will we as God's people learn that? We know that, but we don't live that. Okay? Keeping God's commandments makes a person happy. The book says, the end of verse 18, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. If you were here Sunday night, this is like the message I preached on Sunday night. This is those nations saying about Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. If you were here, Moses told him, when you get into the land of Canaan, the nations are going to look at you and they're going to say about you, Israel, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. But remember, God told them, you know, it's not that you're such a wise and understanding people in and of yourself. You are a wise and understanding people because I have given you my commandments that are full of wisdom and full of understanding, and you live by those commandments, and people who don't even know God look at them and say, man, those folks got a lot of wisdom. What made them that way? God's commandments. God's word did. And folks, the same is true about happiness. You know, if we could just get people to understand, keeping the commandments of God will create a happy people corporately. Keeping the commandments of God will make a happy person individually. Keeping God's word, obeying it, putting it into practice in our lives will result in us being. It doesn't mean life will always be easy. It doesn't mean there will never be any heartache. That's not reality. But it means in the midst of heartache, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of difficulty, you can find happiness. You don't buy it. You don't purchase it. It's created. It's created. It's the result. One of the things it's the result of is keeping the word of God, the commandments of God. Now, you remember from last week that the word blessed, Psalm 1, blessed is the man. Happy. That word blessed means happy. Happy and blessed, they're synonyms for each other throughout the Bible, many, many places. It's interesting, the root word for those, both of the root word for blessed and the root word for happy, same word, same root word, means to be straight, level, honest. And that makes all the sense in the world. That's what God's commandments help us do. God's commandments help us live straight, level, and honest. And number 8, those who keep God's word will be straight, level, honest, and all of those attributes create happiness. Man, honesty is not the best policy, folks. It's the only policy. Dishonest people can't be happy. They live looking over their shoulder. Who's going to catch me in a lie? There's a better way to live than that. Just be honest in the sight of God and man. Okay? And you can be happy because God's commandments create happiness. Happy is the man that keeps the word of God. Understand, it's not just committing sin. I talked about that last week. Sin robs us of happiness. But it's not just committing sin that robs us of happiness. It is the omission of doing the things that God's word tells us to do. So we can put all the thou shalt nots in order, but if we don't keep the thou shalts, we're going to miss out on some happiness. Because number 9 on your sheet, for every thou shalt not of the Bible, there's a command that says thou shalt. It's not just the absence of the negatives in life, folks. It's the presence of the positives. Yes, it does matter what we do not do. And what we do not do, if it's in line with the Word of God, will help us be happy. But that's only one side of it. The other side is the things that God tells us to do. If we do them, we'll be happy. If we keep His commandments. It's not just the absence of the negative. You know, I've said before how many times some Christians, especially independent Baptists, get stuck on I don't. I'm glad. But that's only one side of the coin. This matter of separation is not just simply from the world. It's unto God. You want to be happy, really happy? Don't do the things that God says don't do. Do the things that God says do. And that's what the Bible says. The keeping of His commandments make us happy. Think about these two examples. Ephesians 5:18. Don't turn there. Do not be drunk with wine. Do be filled with the Spirit. So if all you do is don't be drunk with wine, yeah, you're going to have some measure of happiness by staying sober, having your minds about you. But folks, if you'll be filled with the Spirit, if you'll do the negative and the positive, think how much better it's going to be. Okay, take Exodus chapter 20. Do not steal. Do labor. One of the commandments is thou shalt not steal. One of the other commandments was remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt. Oh, I see. So I don't steal. I do work. And guess what? Not stealing and working will create in my life. Happiness. Absolutely. Especially in a man's life. Especially in a man's life, okay? So having, number 10, having access to the Word of God is cause for happiness, but keeping it is what will create happiness in a person's life. keeping it, obeying it, okay, putting it in action. Now, there's another element that contributes to happiness in our lives, the chastening and correction of God, and then keeping the commandments of God. Number 11 on your sheet is the third element that creates happiness, and that is happiness comes from the proper fear of God. The proper fear of God. Right there, chapter 28. You're right there in the book of Proverbs at 29. Look right at chapter 28. Look at verse 14. Here's the word again. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Happy is the man that feareth alway. Now, number 12, there is no happiness in the kind of fear that makes us afraid or scared. Okay? Were you ever as a kid scared and happy at the same time? I think that'd be a little difficult, wouldn't it? If you're scared, you're unhappy. You're crying. What's the matter? I'm scared. You're laughing. Why are you laughing? Because I'm scared. That doesn't happen. Okay? There's no happiness in the kind of fear that makes us afraid or scared. There is happiness in the kind of fear that produces a holy awe of God. A holy awe of God in our lives. So that we don't want to displease Him. We don't want to dishonor Him. Okay? Number 13, living consistently with a holy, proper fear of God allows us to enjoy happiness. That's what the Bible says. I don't make this stuff up. Okay? Happy is the man that feareth alway. Now, the second half of the verse teaches us about the alternative to living with the proper fear of God. Look at it, verse 14. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Does that sound like happiness? No. Instead of living with a holy awe of God that creates happiness, we develop a hardened heart when we do our own thing and we fall into mischief. And that kind of living is not conducive to happiness. It leads to heartache. It leads to misery. Number 14, we harden our hearts to God by living as we want, as we choose, with no thought of what God wants. And that leads to happiness. Number 14, that leads to unhappiness. I'm sorry. It leads to, you know what it leads to, folks? It leads to a life of self-will as opposed to God's will. And I can promise you that any of us living in self-will will never be happy. I just did this in chapel a week ago Tuesday. You folks, I don't have to break it down because you folks pretty much know the story. Satan was never created as the devil. You know that. Satan was created as Lucifer, probably the most beautiful angelic creation of all the angels. Covered with stones, gems, musical. I really believe if you read where Lucifer's place was in heaven, that he really was the angel that had the closest access to the throne of God. He walked up and down in the stones of fire or something like that, the book says. I really believe he was the closest angel to God. But remember how Isaiah recorded his fall? I will. I'm not repeating because I've run out of something to say. There are five I wills in those verses. You want something heavy? We are never any more like the devil when we are living according to our will instead of God's. And that's the truth. And that's possible for every Christian in this room. Saved, born again, you still have to learn to die to your will and live by God's will. And I wouldn't stand up here in front of you and say that we have seasons of it, don't we? All of us do. We get sideways. And what I'll tell you, folks, that's exactly what got Satan thrown out of heaven, thrown down to hell. It's exactly what's going to end him up in the bottomless pit someday, forever and ever and ever. It's that I will. It's what's the middle letter of the word pride? I. What's the middle letter of the word sin? I will. My, I want it. I. God said, no, sir. He had a place closer to God than any other angel. Back there by the throne. He wasn't happy. Isn't that unbelievable? Here he is, the closest being to God's throne outside of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, he's not happy because he's, I will. So we got to be careful about it. Number 15 on your sheet here, a proper fear of God, a holy awe, produces a cautious, careful life in which we desire to please God, not displease Him. Please God, not displease Him. So if I want to live according to God's will, live pleasing to Him, that's going to bring happiness in my life. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That word acceptable means pleasing. Just about, I won't say every morning that we eat breakfast together. We don't eat breakfast every morning. We don't eat breakfast together on Sunday. Well, I guess we do on Sunday. We just about do now, don't we? Just about every morning. Sometimes it's earlier than others, and when we pray for the food, sometimes we will quote, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Today. Today. Okay? That word acceptable means pleasing. God, the thoughts of my heart and the words of my mouth, pleasing to you. You know what that's going to result in? Be a happy person. Ephesians 5 teaches us that the Holy Spirit helps us prove what is acceptable unto the Lord, pleasing. The Spirit of God inside of us is going to lead us to behave in ways, to do God's will in ways that will make us pleasing to Him. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to help us do. And 1 Peter 2:20, if, Peter said, when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. This is pleasing to God. You know, we said so. You know, a lot of new folks in the church, and some of them coming from families that are unsaved, and they're catching a lot of grief right now, and it's not their fault. They're living for the Lord, and they're suffering to some degree. And the Bible says if you take it patiently, that's pleasing. You don't strike back in anger. You take it patiently. That's pleasing to the Lord. Pleasing. And brother, you know, when you were the happiest as a child, when you made your mom and dad happy, when your mom and dad were pleased. You know, my dad's in heaven. He was not an outspoken man. He was quiet. He was not verbally communicative in expressing his love, in being pleased with us. He wasn't real verbal that way. And I'm not criticizing. I always knew Dad loved me. And I knew that when I was living in rebellion as a lost teenager, it hurt him deeply. He was displeased with me. But after I got saved and was here for a while at Faith Baptist Church, I received a letter from him. Dad wrote he rarely wrote a letter. He wrote some to my mom. Rarely wrote a letter to us boys. When Dad wrote, he wrote in all caps. All caps. And that's what the letter is. And in that letter, he expressed how pleased he was with me and how God had directed our life, directed my path, and used my life. And you know what? As a grown man with 6 kids, that made me feel like a little 10-year-old. I still have that letter. It made me happy that my dad was pleased. Happy is the man that feareth alway, who lives with a holy awe and a proper fear of God, not wanting to displease Him, wanting to honor Him. And boy, when God's happy, we'll be happy. That's it. That's what he's saying, okay? As we live consistently with that proper fear, the holy awe of God, it will make us happy because we'll be pleasing to God. And you know what's sad? Sometimes people, especially in churches like this one where these folks are from, churches that have standards, churches that preach against sin, sometimes even the young people of our church families feel like preachers and youth directors and principals and, you know, that those of us that promote biblical living are trying to keep us from having fun. Nothing could be further from the truth. For anybody to really believe that? That is my purpose as pastor. That's Brother Raritan's purpose as youth director. Brother Bragg's purpose as principal. That we live for the moment of making you unhappy and keeping fun from you. Folks, that's Joe Biden-esque. In other words, it doesn't make any sense. Like when he speaks. That doesn't make a lick of sense. Some of the greatest times of my life are seniors coming in for a senior appointment in their high school, last year in high school, and they've spent their years here obeying their parents and loving God and enjoying the church and listening to the preaching and teaching. And it's like this experience with this young adult man or woman, just young adult, 18, 17, 18 year old, and they're just happy. That is one of the greatest joys of pastoring. One of the greatest joys of pastoring. God's book was not written to make us an unhappy people. God's book was written to make us a happy people. 16, the kind of living that brings God pleasure is what helps people be happy, okay? As I said earlier, you cannot purchase happiness. You know what else, folks, look, what the Bible does teach us? There's short-lived pleasure in sin. Brother Jameson was telling me about a Sunday school lesson on Sunday, and he talked about David there in 2 Samuel 11 when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And you got one verse that probably speaks of pleasure. And how many verses that speak of heartache? That book's true. Pleasure is sin for a one verse. And then all the verses that follow, culminating with David climbing the steps there. Absalom, oh, my son, Absalom. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Doesn't sound like very happy to me. Number 17, happiness that results in a peaceful, fulfilled life is the result of biblical principles. Y'all know my brother, Tim, his wife passed away last August. Now just sit. I know you're done filling your paper, but just sit still. We're almost done. Okay. His wife passed away last August at 59 years of age. I think I mentioned this, that I believe it was in December that he came to visit, Mom. When Tim came to visit, was that? Did he come since December? No, December. Okay. And Tuesday after chapel here, Joyce and I went to Mom's, where she lives over here, and Tim, and we had lunch together. And at the end of it, you know, it just kind of slowed down talking. And so Joyce said to my brother, Tim, is there anything you want to tell us? Anything you want to tell us about Julie? And I said, Joyce, yeah, I'm dumb. He said, yes, there is. He just started talking, and he just sobbed. And she had to go to work in the library here. And so I was going to stay and just let him talk as long as he wanted to. But she had to go. She got up to leave, and he followed her out into the other room and said, thank you so much for asking. He just talked and talked and talked. And this is what he said. He said, I just want to be happy again. Well, I've talked to him several times. His daughter's fixing to have a baby, and his son and his wife just found out they're going to have a second baby. And I called him. I said, Grandpa! He said, hey, Terry! Yeah. he's coming back. That's because he lives by God's book. Lives by God's principles. You know, this doesn't mean you'll never have a heartache. Doesn't mean you'll never shed a tear ever again. Just go through life with a smile on your face, because it takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. I know that's not real. That's plastic. But what it does mean is when the heartache comes, you just keep living by the book, and happiness will come around again. You say, well, is he getting married? No, he didn't have anybody on the hook. That's not in the program. Living by the book is in the program. And that makes you happy. That makes you happy. Okay? So happiness can't be purchased. It can't be bought some store somewhere. Happiness is found in God's correction and chastening. Happiness is found in a proper fear of the Lord. And happiness is found in obeying God's command. And there's more. That's just some of it. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for telling us in your book how we can be happy. And it's a lot of fun in life when you can be happy. And there are going to be times when, as your people, our hearts will have sorrow. I would imagine that the Minkowski family tonight is going through some sorrow with this news of Joanne's cancer. And I pray you'll help her and help them. Lord, I'm thankful that you told us in your book that if we receive your correction, we could be happy. And if we keep your commandments, we could be happy. And if we live with the proper fear of you, not scared, but not wanting to displease you, that would make us happy. I pray for everybody here, even those going through a deep, deep time of sorrow. I pray that you'll help us to be a happy people in the end because of these elements. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a brief invitation. You obey the Lord. If you need to come tonight, the altar will be open just for a minute.